This is On Air with JT. Join JT, visionary and host, for a 420 friendly improv and variety talk show featuring pop culture, news, interviews, debates, and the home of the famous JT Rants. Here, mental health awareness is at the forefront, with JT on a mission to inspire and spread mental health awareness. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. You can stay up to date and get in touch by heading to onairwithjt.com. To contact the show directly or for business inquiries, use onairwithjt@gmail.com.
Have a great day the JT way. JT did it again.
This is On Air with JT. Join JT, visionary and host, for a 420 friendly improv and variety talk show featuring pop culture, news, interviews, debates, and the home of the famous JT Rants. Here, mental health awareness is at the forefront, with JT on a mission to inspire and spread mental health awareness. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. You can stay up to date and get in touch by heading to onairwithjt.com. To contact the show directly or for business inquiries, use onairwithjt@gmail.com.
On Air with JT, hosted by On Air with JT.
Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com.
JT did it again. On Air with JT. JT did it again.
How's it going, everybody? Justin Thomas here, and I have a very exclusive interview with a very talented John of Five for Fighting. John, how are you doing today?
Good, JT. Good to be with you, man. Yeah. Welcome to the bus.
Thank you. This is my first time on a tour bus.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, first of all, if people haven't listened to our first interview, definitely check it out. And I just got to say, John has been so nice to me and humble, and everybody part of the agency, Julie, and everybody, and Chris, just have been extremely nice to me, and I just want to say thank you. And also, obviously, thank you for just giving me a few minutes of your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. So let me ask you. So we're in Boston.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in Boston?
Oh, we try to play Boston at least once a year, whether it's with the string quartet or a band show. Mm-hmm. Five for Fighting kind of broke out of the Northeast. Mm-hmm. So Boston, New York, Minneapolis, mm-hmm. Philly have always been kind of special markets for us. So every time we come here, it's kind of like a second homecoming, even though I'm a diehard Laker fan and me and Boston have had issues for the last 30 years. But just like Bird and Magic, we've been able to reconcile and find a special love with each other.
Exactly, definitely. Yeah. And I've seen on upcoming shows, you're playing at the St. Augustine Amphitheater.
Yeah.
That was one of the first concerts that I went to when I was living in Florida. So I don't know if you've played at that venue before.
No, I've been down there. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We actually did some quartet shows down in Florida last year, which were awesome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of friends of mine have kind of moved out to Florida, so we'll see a lot of folks down there.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Awesome. So, John, what have you been currently working on in terms of music? I mean, I know we're on tour right now. You're with the Bare Naked Ladies and everything like that. What can we expect? What can the fans and, the followers expect in the upcoming months? Or if there's anything that you can, talk about in terms of, the artistic process?
Yeah, it's when you're on the road, it's kind of hard to be creative, because it's kind of exhausting and you're, focusing on performing. But we're still doing a lot of work with both the Afghanistan song, Blood on My Hands, and the Ukraine song, Come On Man, Save the World, trying to put together some benefit concerts. We're still kind of trying to get people out of Afghanistan. And of course, we're still operating humanitarian aid in Ukraine. I did just kind of wrap up a very fun project with some Chicago inner city kids to raise money for a music teacher for their school. So we all got together, and these are not musical kids, they're just kind of kids, and we wrote a song together, and we recorded it. We went through the whole process of, you know, writing the song, arranging the song, went to the studio with the kids, and we just kind of wrapped up the video for that, which will be coming probably in September to not only just raise music for their money for a music teacher for their school, but kind of nationwide. My mom, when the LA City cut school funding for our school, she came in and volunteered and started doing musicals. And to this day, you know, 50 years later, a lot of those kids, you know, still look at that moment as something that was so important to them. So just trying to pay that forward. And so folks will be hearing that. And there's always a new song or two in the back of my head.
Yeah, definitely. I really, like I've told you before, I really respect and admire that you do these kind of things, the benefits and raising money, because, you know, there's artists out there and bands that don't really do it, and or if they do it, you know, PR, not all, but, you know, and I really respect that, because I know for a fact that you actually are doing that out of the, you know, out of your heart, out of, you know, you're not doing it for anything in return, you know, you're doing it to actually spread awareness and help people, and I think that's really authentic and genuine, and I just... Like I always say on my podcast, I always like to give people their flowers, you know, in respect when it's due, you know, John. And again, like I said, you know, when I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old and I first heard, you know, Superman, you know, it's been one of my favorite songs. It's saved my life multiple times where I've been in dark places where I've been very close to committing suicide, and I would always play, that would be like my go-to song, where I'd listen to it, and not only that, but just, I mean, there's so many amazing songs, and of course, 100 Years, I mean, but just the Superman song always resonated with me at such a young age, and I know we've talked about that, but I think it's just something really special when an artist can make a song, you know, 2 decades, you know, before, and it can still resonate with people, and I'm starting to see that even like the Gen Z generation and the younger generations are starting to discover it.
Yeah,
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you, and you know, I appreciate the kind words about the song. You know, when I talk to people who've had kind of struggles with depression, anxiety, and we all have to a certain degree, you know, I'm glad the songs are there. I still think they express the internal fortitude of the person. So certainly the song and other songs helped you in the time. Music can be a great healer in so many ways.
Yeah.
But it still takes the person's will to get out of those dark places.
That's definitely true.
So I'm glad the songs are kind of conduits to that. But I think you also need to take some credit for yourself of making good decisions. And that's the beautiful thing about music. You know, I learned very quickly when Superman came out, how our troops use music as tools for wellness. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how they may use the same song in totally different ways. Yeah. Like, before I go on mission, or when I come back, or to escape, or to focus. So the great thing about songs is we take them and we apply them to our lives how we need them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of irrelevant what I was writing about, frankly, or what I meant. And I do that with the songs of my kind of youth too, and I take them and they mark our memories. Mm-hmm. So it's just a unique medium, this music, and if you're fortunate enough to have a couple songs that kind of find their way into the culture, it's easy to kind of use them to support, you know, real heroes and real people who are really challenged. And it's been, you know, one of the blessings of my life to do that. And it's also fun. And you meet amazing people.
Of course. And you get to hear, I'm sure you get to hear from so many different peoples of Walker Earth, you know, how their music, how your music has helped them. And especially like Superman and songs like that. But just one last question regarding to that. Were you in like a, what kind of space were you in mentally when you wrote that song?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Superman is not a song I could write today. Because I've learned it's actually pretty easy to be me, you know, for most of us, you know, when you go to Ukraine, when you work with autistic children, when your mentor has ALS, and, you know, very good friend of mine is struggling with cancer right now. So, you know, when you kind of meet people go through these challenges, it gives you perspective. But, you know, when you talk to young musicians who are hitting the wall of the music business, and I think artists, they just want a chance to be heard. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever happens, happens. You know, it's a career, it's not, it's a hit, it's a miss. Mm-hmm. But I think artists just want to be heard, so you can kind of have that opportunity to let people be moved or not by what you do. And I think for me as a young songwriter, you know, I was hitting the wall, and you're a good singer, you're not a good enough songwriter, you're a really good songwriter, but the voice, oh, the piano's not on the radio anymore. Everybody had an excuse, right?
Yeah.
And so I think at the time I wrote it, you know, It's Not Easy to Be Me, made sense.
Yeah.
You know, I was frustrated and hitting the wall, and it's real, and pretty much every artist, every human goes through that.
Yeah, so, especially the entertainment industry.
Yeah. You know, because it's so shallow, and, and it's not a meritocracy. It's not like sports, right?
Yeah.
For Michael Jordan, you're going to play.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're Bob Dylan, who knows? You know, you'd think so, but you never know.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of where the song came from. But yeah, it's been really cool to kind of see how it has found a new generation, and you look out in the crowds tonight, and
I see some younger people.
Oh yeah,
younger than me.
Yeah. Like, oh my, it's amazing. It's like people, you know, who were kind of in high school when Superman came out. Now their kids are here.
Exactly.
Or people that were, you know, in their, you know, 40s when Superman came out. Now their grandkids are here. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's really fun to look out every night and see who's singing along.
Definitely. So when was the last time that you were on tour?
Well, we did a headline tour last year.
Okay.
We did a summer tour. First time in like 10 years.
Okay.
I think out of the pandemic, a lot of us are like, got to live now.
Yeah.
To stop waiting. And I do a couple string quartet tours every year. We'll be going out in September doing a California run.
Nice.
And did some solo shows in Texas. So I like mixing it up, you know. The rock tours are so fun.
Yeah.
But also the very intimate shows where I can, you know, do the storytelling behind the music. Pin drop theater shows.
Yeah.
Those are great too. And as a performer, you know, kind of mixing those up, doing symphony shows, they're always kind of fresh and you're excited. And instead of, you know, like the old days where we do 200 rock shows a year, it was great.
Yeah.
But it's kind of becomes a little tedious, you know. So artistically, we try to mix that up.
Definitely. Yeah. So you have about like 10 cities left, or roughly?
Yeah, I think we got like, we're doing like 10 more Bare Naked Ladies shows. We have a headline show in Interlaken to wrap us up.
Okay.
Which will be great. I've been to Interlaken many times, you know, music school, and have some friends who went there. Josh Groban actually went there.
Really?
To Interlaken. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so for that show, we actually have kids that are in the songwriting program open for us.
Oh,
so there'll
be
some kids opening for us, and so I'm always excited to hear like what they're up to. So, yeah, so 11 more shows.
Yeah, you definitely got this.
Yeah.
And then you just, were you just in New York, or?
We'll be playing New York. Today is, you always forget.
Yeah, I know.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, we're in New York City.
Okay.
Playing the Rooftop, which
awesome.
We're very excited about. My wife's going to be there. My kids are going to be there. Sold out. And so nice thing about this tour is, you know, we get to play venues with Bare Naked Ladies that we wouldn't play as Fire for Fighting. It's just the reality of it. So, you know, play for 5,000-6,000 people a night in these really fun venues. And the Bare Naked Ladies guys are just like, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
They're great musicians, great songwriters, but they're just wonderful people.
And I grew up listening to them, and it's so ironic, you know, about 5-6 months ago, I interviewed Stephen Page.
Yeah. Oh, that's
very
interesting.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. You know, it's, and then Delamitri, a Scottish band, who are just insane musicians, insane singers. So, you know, we get to hear them every night. We get to go out and have fun with the Bare Naked Ladies at the Encore, and just hanging around with the guys, you know. It's kind of like the locker room, you know.
Right.
It's like there's something beautiful about that, and they're so generous and make everybody so welcome that, you know, as you're talking about, not all bands do that.
Yeah.
Not all headliners do that. Sometimes you go open for a band and you never see them. So it's been a lot of fun, and should have a great show here tonight.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, though, what is your favorite Bare Naked Ladies song? If you had to pick, I know it's tough. I mean, for me, it's probably Brian Wilson.
You know, Million Dollars is a great song.
Yeah, it is.
And to hear it every night, you know, sometimes you think about, like, that the songs are such big hits that you kind of diminish the song.
Yeah.
1 Week is a great song.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
But I do think every night, it was funny, I was sitting last night, we were in New Hampshire, we actually were able to sit around this fireplace and they had the screen so we could watch all the bands. And you know, when Brian Wilson came on, I said to the Delamitri guys, I said to Ian, I go, that is such a great effing song. And it's so different. Yeah. And it's interesting. Just the arrangement, the chords. It's so like non-traditional pop creative song, but it's like, it just works.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the Bare Naked Ladies don't get the credit as songwriters they do.
They don't.
Because,
nor do you.
I think part of it is they write positive songs. And I write kind of sentimental songs. And those are not songs that rock critics tend to embrace.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, there's nothing harder to do than write a positive, fun song that's not cheesy. And the Bare Naked Ladies have made they're experts in that. The songs have depth. They make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Their audience is happy. But there's depth to the songs and the lyrics that make them kind of serious songs.
Kind of like the Goo Goo Dolls, kind of, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Johnny does some of that, too. Yeah. But the Bare Naked Ladies also put on such a fun show. And the great thing that I've been able to see, you know, sitting backstage every night, is the joy in their audiences. Everybody's so happy.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, you know, we need that. We need happiness and joy. And people walk out of this concert just smiling and laughing. Mm-hmm. Which, again, a lot of rock shows, you don't leave with that kind of... You're excited, it's great. But that certain kind of just goodness that they bring...
Pureness.
I think it kind of filters down to us... Mm-hmm. And Delamitri too. So it's wonderful.
I'm not a musician, but I can only imagine it's such an adrenaline rush.
It is. I mean, I was talking to Jim. I'm like, you know, what time you go to sleep after the shows? He's like at 12:30. I'm like, they walk off stage at 11. I go, dude, I'm up to 5 in the morning. It's like, you know, I'm like, but they've been doing it, you know, at this level for so long.
Yeah.
But you never get. You never get used to it, you know, having 5,000 people sing your song to you. But, you know, then we sleep till 1. We just live kind of vampire hours.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, John. Yeah. So I got to ask you, the one question that I did have, and I wrote it down just so I made sure, because I wanted to ask you the last time I interviewed you. And let me find it. I apologize. So... can you describe a significant turning point or realization in your life that kind of influenced the direction of your music or shifted your perspective on artistry and making music?
Yeah, I can. It was a concert for New York.
Okay.
I'd just gotten used to hearing my song on the radio, and then all of a sudden I'm on this stage with every living icon of mine and playing this huge live event. And my experience was certainly surreal, but to kind of watch, I remember when The Who came on and played Bob O'Reilly.
My favorite song, by the way.
Yeah. And they kind of blew the roof up in Madison Square Garden. I was kind of sitting side stage, and I was just watching the audience there. And, you know, most of those people at that concert, you know, had been down at Ground Zero, literally wading through the rubble, finding body parts. Just couldn't imagine what they'd been going through. And so for the first time, I think since then, they were able to release, cry, sing, laugh. I remember when I played Superman, there's this big guy with two beers in each hand just kind of crying and singing along. And I looked at it and go, okay, this is really what music's about. You know, you certainly, you know, fame, fortune, chart success,
that's
tickets.
All nice.
You need that for people to hear your stuff. But at the end of the day, every once in a while, you have an event where like, okay, this is what it's all about. And so I think that probably, and then meeting many of the... families of the folks who ran into those buildings, and then seeing what Superman had become for the city. So I think that really kind of turned a switch of, okay, you know, you still need to write good songs.
Of course.
But there's things you can do with music that can make a difference beyond just, you know, personal success. And so I think that experience probably tilted me to do some of this stuff I've been doing. You know, the Ukraine thing, you know, and also to have a certain fortitude to release something that you know some people are not going to like, and they'll come after you.
Oh yeah,
and that's real. And cancel culture is real. It's real. But you also, when you meet like superhero people who do heroic stuff, and then you look at it and go, I'm really going to like not put this out. I'm afraid somebody's going to call me a bad name or not buy a ticket or write me an article. And this person, you know, has had ALS for 12 years and basically writes letters with his toes. You know, it's like, then it's easy to do, okay, yeah, I feel like it's the right thing, I'll do it, whatever comes, I can handle it.
Yeah.
But I think Concert for New York kind of started that mindset.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then one last question I have for you, John. So looking towards the future, what aspirations do you have for yourself for Fiverr Fighting, and any artistic goals that you're striving to achieve? And maybe to branch off of that, I know it's maybe a double question, but have you, I'm sure throughout the years, you know, you've obviously maybe explored in different kinds of songwriting tactics, or just overall just your sound and evolving and things like that. What have you learned from like Superman 100 years to now? Like, has there been like epiphanies or just observations throughout just your music career that makes you write music differently or anything like that? I know it's kind of a complicated question. I kind of worded it bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you're always hoping that your best song is still in front of you.
Yeah.
I think you also have to realize where you are in your career and the world around you, mm-hmm. and understand, you know, the way it was is not the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And that can be a struggle when you're used to a certain thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my kind of mindset now is not even so much musical. It's like, you know, I'm 58 years old. I have, you know, two kids in their 20s, wonderful wife, parents are still alive. So my mindset is, you know, try to enjoy life as much as you can.
Yeah.
And if music's part of that, which it certainly is, mm-hmm. Do that. But I think the idea of, let me cut it, you know, chase a single or write a record, I find now that when I'm inspired to write something, I do it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that songs like that, that'll never get a spin on the radio, can reach millions of people.
Exactly.
So I kind of just look for projects that interest me, mm-hmm. That inspire me, but also try to keep, you know, keep myself healthy and mm-hmm. happy as possible, and so I can, you know, be a good dad, good husband, good son, and
it's all about the balance.
Yeah, you know, it's you always kind of say, you know, when I get here, then I'll do this, yeah. You know, then I'll be happy. Yeah. You know, so it's like, you know, it's not that it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I'm learning that out.
Yeah.
The hard way.
I mean, you need to figure that. You need to be like, you know, work on yourself now, and don't put goalposts up there, or don't dwell in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, 100 years, the reason I think so many people embrace it is, you know, the moment is what we have.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you want to think about your future, and you can learn lessons from your past, but you can't live in the past or the future. So,
definitely.
You know, right now I'm here having a great time with these guys, and I'm not taking it for granted, and, you know, hopefully we can do more of this, but you never know what's around the corner, but luckily, I'm in a place in my life where I can kind of choose what I want to do.
And that's an awesome thing.
It is a beautiful place. Yeah. Freedom.
Exactly.
Freedom,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I really respect, you know, how you, you know, especially with the music industry and PC culture and cancel culture, you know, you're not afraid to speak your mind. And I really respect that because, you know, we all know, you know, some of the consequences of things like that. And, you know, that takes a lot of bravery and someone to be very courageous. So I really respect that and admire that about you, John.
Thank you. It's sad that we're in a place like that.
Unfortunately,
but I do think every person that does stand up mm-hmm. and kind of speak their mind, mm-hmm. not that we have to agree with everybody, mm-hmm. I think it makes it easier for the next person.
Yeah.
And we need to get it back to that in this country.
Definitely.
And I think in a way we kind of are.
Yeah.
So I'm actually have some optimism that I haven't had in a while.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, John. And then so the next show in New York, right?
Next show, we go to Lewiston.
Oh, Lewiston, okay.
Up by Buffalo.
Okay.
Which will be amazing, because it's like Bare Naked Ladies, ground zero up there. And then head to New York, and then go down south, and then Michigan, and end up in Interlochen.
Awesome. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much, John. And everybody can follow John on Instagram at Fiverr Fighting. Is there anything else?
Yeah, Fiverr Fighting Music, Instagram, John Ondrasik, Twitter, Fiverr Fighting Facebook. Mm-hmm. Don't bother with Threads. It's very confusing.
I'm 29. I'm still trying to figure it out.
I don't know what's going on there. Everybody who I follow doesn't come up on my
same
whatever.
Here.
So it's like, I get Kim Kardashian. I'm like, I did not follow Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Why is she in my timeline?
Right?
Damn it, Kim. Get off me. Get off me.
Get Tom, off us.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Tom Brady. Yeah, whatever.
The curse is real. John, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was such a pleasure.
My pleasure,
really
buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You're listening to On Air with JT.
This is On Air with JT. Join JT visionary, and host for a 420-friendly improv and variety talk show featuring pop culture, news, interviews, debates, and the home of the famous JT Rants. Here, mental health awareness is at the forefront, with JT on a mission to inspire and spread mental health awareness. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. You can stay up to date and get in touch by heading to onairwithjt.com. To contact the show directly or for business inquiries, use onairwithjt@gmail.com.
Have a great day the JT way. JT did it again.
This is On Air with JT. Join JT, visionary and host for a 420-friendly improv and variety talk show featuring pop culture, news, interviews, debates, and the home of the famous JT Rants. Here, mental health awareness is at the forefront, with JT on a mission to inspire and spread mental health awareness. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. You can stay up to date and get in touch by heading to onairwithjt.com. To contact the show directly or for business inquiries, use onairwithjt@gmail.com.
On Air with JT, hosted by On Air with JT.
Listen to On Air with JT on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Go to onairwithjt.com. If you are a business owner, brand, company, or anyone selling a product and you want to advertise on this podcast, email the show directly at onairwithjt@gmail.com. We are offering extremely low rates for a limited time. Once again, email the show at onairwithjt@gmail.com.
JT did it again. On Air with JT. JT did it again.